for takeoff.
We are cleared for takeoff.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Time to take flight in your community and in your life. This is Audio Airstrike.
What's up, everybody? I'm Everett Hall McNeil, and this is Audio Airstrike, episode 170. With me at this time, I have a very good guest. He's been a good friend of mine for many years. My brother from another mother, Shaughnessy the King, is with us. Hey, what's going on, man? How you been?
I've been good, Everett. Thanks for having me on the show yet again. So much
yeah,
to
talk absolutely.
About.
Yeah, it's a lot. You can see we got a pretty... This is probably... Been a while since I had a number of topics that's loaded in an array of different cases. So it's a lot going on, man. So let's get right down to it. In Atlanta, we know there was a spa shooting. There were 8 people that were killed, including 6 of those women being Asian descent. And the issue that I have with this is here we are once again, something that is an obvious hate crime. This guy opens fire at people just trying to make a living, and he decides that this is the best course of action for whatever. And I can't, and look, I can't even think on that level because I wasn't raised that way. But apparently this devious human being, and I'm not going to sit over here and even mention his name because that's what I think of him. His name is not important to me. As a matter of fact, they need to, you know, lock him up and throw away the key, in my opinion. He does what he does. There's protests going around to stop Asian hate, and I'm all for that. But the problem that I have with what's going on is can we get to a point where we get less legislation passed over some of the things when it comes to guns? Like, I saw some of the, you know, the different stuff that is going on, and I'm like, you got people just opening fire whenever they see fit. And another caveat to that is you have somebody who's happens to be of Caucasian descent, just being, I damn near want to say, pampered and just escorted peacefully. This man just literally just shot up a spa. Another dude who I don't think looks as Caucasian, but still did a heinous crime in Colorado. You know, and I'm looking at these two situations, and I'm sitting over here thinking to myself, what the heck is going on? Have people been cooped up in the house so doggone long that they have just lost their minds? I'm all for the protesting to stop Asian hate, to stop hate crimes as well. And it seems like every time I say that, the evil spirits and people just start to just rile up even more. Like, no, like being rebellious, like, no, we're not going to, you know, I don't care. We don't care what you think. We don't care about peace. So it's a jacked up situation all the way around. And what are your thoughts about it, Sean?
I saw an interesting post on social media that crossed out the hashtag stop Asian hate and changed it to stop white terrorism. And I don't know. I can't say that when I saw that post, I didn't feel like, yeah, no, I vibe with this, because it seems, you know, without trying to offend any of your viewers or listeners who may be Caucasian, it seems every time there is a mass shooting of people of color, it's always somebody of Caucasian descent or has, you know, a big percentage of Caucasian descent. And it's always heavily racially based for some reason. Now, there was an article that said, you know, it may not have been racially based, and, you know, it had something to do with him being sexually repressed. But at the end of the day, you know, that wasn't just something like the article said. He didn't just wake up and say, gonna shoot up this church today. You know, that was something that was sitting in his head and stewing for a little bit. Now, whether it was that church for any particular reason, you know, we'll never know because we're not truly in his head. We weren't in his head at the moment. But it does bring up question and concern to discuss the warped psychology of Caucasian males. You know, now all of us have some kind of warped psychology. Black men have a warped psychology that derives from us being in slavery for so long, as do Black women, as do Latina, African-American women. All cultures have some kind of thing that their, you know, group went through that is still implanted in them because, you know, slavery, these harsh times that we, that our generation, I wish I could say, were exempt from, but, you know, we didn't have it as brutal as our predecessors, came with us. This stuff isn't something that happens. And it's like, oh, this happened on this date and there was no effect there. You know, this is how it affected people. And that's the end. It stays with you. It runs in your DNA. You know, there's a reason why, you know, people of color, specifically Black males, feel uncomfortable when they get stopped or followed by the police. It's not just, oh, this is what we see on the media. There is a deoxyribonucleic acidic thing that connects us to our ancestors. And that's true for Caucasian males too. And I think there is a complex there oftentimes that, you know, like we talk about privilege, when you're privileged, you can't really see certain issues because you're just like, in the same way as a Black male, I know I have male privilege. I don't have to worry about, you know, when I walk down the neighborhood at night and a woman's coming to me, I had to learn to naturally not look menacing because women are so often harassed that, you know, I wasn't thinking like, oh, you know, I'll think, oh, yeah, hey, you know, I'll greet her, but she may be fearing for her life because she doesn't know who I am. And that's not, you know, that's male privilege in that sense where I can just be like, oh, concurrently, it changes. If it's a police officer walking and it's me walking, there's a whole different mindset there. So it really begs the question, to get back to the point, to talk about the racial history of America as it also affects Caucasian people, which I believe is a catalyst to what leads to these kind of events.
Yeah. And the thing that we have to realize is this, man. And I was sitting over here really looking at the entire situation as a whole. When I see people post, y'all didn't say nothing when so-and-so of a certain race attacks so-and-so of a certain race on Instagram, you are not helping with what the cause is. The cause is that minorities are being hunted, killed, harassed by people that, yes, happen to be of a certain hue, but at the end of the day, they are racist. And the thing that I need people to understand is, especially minorities, listen to me very closely. The thing that a racist wants is for other minorities of a certain color to go against other minorities of a certain color in an argument, for that to be a distraction so they can pick people off. Mm-hmm. Mentally, spiritually, physically, they are looking to pick people off. You are dealing with somebody that is working at times. I believe, and I'm not trying to get super religious, I believe racism as a demonic spirit, in my personal opinion. That's how I view it. Everybody has their opinion religion wise, but that's how I view it. From my standpoint, I think that there needs to be a gathering, a network, if you will, where if something happens to one minority, I don't care if it's Latinos, I don't care if it's Asian people, I don't care if it's Black people, every minority is out there in full freaking force. They want us to stay with our communities. They do not want us to network and fellowship. And if something pops off or something race related happens, it ain't just black people showing up. It's every minority in this country showing up. And I think that is the direction we need to move to. And if there are people that are sick and tired, and I'm going to say this, if there are white people, and I know for a fact there are white people that are sick and tired of the race issues, and not, I'm not talking about the white people that don't want to see change. I'm talking about the white people that have spoke out, stood in a corner, and actually undertried. They're trying their best, even though they're not in our shoes. They are standing side by side with us and being like, we're sick of it too. And this shouldn't be this way. You are more than welcome. If you are like that, you are more than welcome to stand with those minorities and help us out for the cause. But it needs to be more united front. And we have to start pushing for legislation when it comes to gun control, when it comes to, like, we protest and some of these cops are getting off, like, and some of these racists are getting, you know, just a slap on the hand. You know what I mean? And, you know, some of these people are getting, I could even go as far to say some of these people are getting, you know, paid leave for murder. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's one of those situations, man, like, I'm not going to sit over here and say it's Asians versus everybody else. I'm not going to sit over and say it's black people versus everybody else. I'm going to say it's kind, genuine, heartfelt, passionate people that actually give a crap about the human race against racists that want to do nothing but, you know, steal, kill, and destroy. You came in, you stole people's culture. You came in, you killed their spirit. You came in, you destroyed the very fabric that helped build this country in a lot of ways, and then have the nerve to sit over there and tell these very people that helped the whole entire infrastructure of what you guys do is on the backs of blacks, Native Americans, and even to this day, presently, Latinos. And you treat them like they don't deserve to be here. And that's the type of time that I'm on. So my last statement is this. If you are racist, I'm speaking for me, I'm speaking for Sean. We don't want no parts of that around here. If you are sitting over there, have no problem with the stuff that's going on, we don't want no parts of that over here because you're a waste of space at that point. We trying to find solutions, trying to figure out legislation, and trying to figure out how we can change different policies and try to figure out how we can actually make change around here. Because let's be honest, I don't care what party that you would like or you're a fan of. They are going to listen to the people that can move the needle on their leverage and equity.
Money talks in a capitalist society. That's how it goes.
You don't do what we want. We have this demand. You don't do what you want. You're not getting our vote. Point blank, period. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or in between. You don't support and you don't push these things into action. Don't take it seriously. You're not getting our vote. I'm sick and tired of us voting for these parties. And after the election's over, after everything is done, they kick us right out of the SUV, just like in that daggone meme. And it's the same knee jerk, the same, you know, the same trap that they do every single 4 years. You don't care. Stop acting like you do. Let the citizens take back control. Let the citizens step in and actually care about one another. Because you definitely can't trust a politician or this government to do so. And I'm not trying to sound anti-American. I literally have been calling for unity on this show consistently for 3 to 4 years. That's a freaking fact. I got 170 some episodes. I ain't trying to get on a rant, but I could go there with these topics. I got 170 episodes and over a dozen witnesses that know what type of time I'm on when I come on this platform. So it's either unity or get out the way. That's how I feel.
Right.
I'm not gonna sit over here and condone this closet racist behavior that I've seen from people. I'm not gonna condone that. If you are not willing to stand on the front line, if you are not afraid to use your voice to stand up for change, and if you don't understand, let me go here. You can't say the stupid stuff you say and you got people in your family that is the exact race of the people you're talking about. You can't do no dumb stuff like that. You can't. You can't. You can't do that. That's as far as I'm going to go. Because I'm going to start because I could send shots. I'm not going to. But that's about as far as I'm going to go. So, yeah, man, it's we need some unity. We need to come together. This ain't the time to be like, oh, well, when was Asian standing with us? I like, fam, we need to all come together on the front. We need to be working with the Latinos and working with the Asian people. And then they turn around and they scratch our back. They're helping us out. Because now it's getting to the point where now even African people that thought that bought into the lie that we're lazy, but they looked at it and said, no, you guys are being actually marginalized is what's going on. We were like, we're so sorry. We didn't know. So we need to have more progressive conversations to figure out how we can push legislation in that regard. My rant is over. Sean, you got any last thoughts before I switch to the next topic?
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of the things you said. I do believe unity needs to happen. I do believe the conversations need to happen. But I also think people need to kind of get out of their comfort level. You know, we've been very closed-minded in how we have lived our lives, you know, religiously, spiritually, emotionally. You know, we live in a very me society. We internalize a lot of the things that happen. And sometimes we really just need to step outside of the me and turn the M upside down and make it a we thing. You know, there are some things that I just don't vibe with. But at the same time, concurrently, you know, I'm willing to have a conversation about anything. Now, that's not to say, you know, I understand the hurt that's rooted in, oh, well, I'm going to have Asian people united together and come to us. I can understand, but we need to also understand that coming from a place of hurt doesn't heal anything. What do you want to do? Do you want to heal or do you just want to vent your hurt? Because what I get from a lot of people nowadays is, oh, we hurt. And let's tell you about why we hurt, which is cool. I'm glad. I'm glad people are getting their hurt stories out. But now, at a certain point, when are you going to decide, okay, when are we going to heal? And what does that look like? What does that journey to healing look like? Because you can hurt all day. I hear enough stories about, oh, I don't like, normalize this because it hurts these people. Normalize this because it hurts these people. Normalize this because it hurts these. Okay, well, if everyone stands on their hurt feelings, then where do we go from there? After everybody's feelings is hurt, and everybody done said what they had to say about their hurt feelings, when do we have the conversation about the journey to healing? That's in everything. That's in racial relations, your personal interrelationships, your business relationships, whatever relationship you have. When are you going to stop standing off your hurt feelings and talk about the journey to healing? That's all I got to say on that.
Absolutely. Unity matters, and we all need to take that journey of healing. Deshaun Watson may need to take a different journey of healing after he has been busted with sexual allegations. You like how I did the transition? I still got it. Yeah. So there has been several accounts of sexual misconduct, I should say. And I'm going to be honest here. And this is the one time when I hear stories about this that I'm very skeptic. Mm-hmm. Here's why. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's an African-American quarterback. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, who are these women? What were their intentions? This and this and that. Here's where I have a problem. Before all this, he didn't want to be with the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. The organization as a whole has become, in my personal opinion, I'll let you guys decide that. I think a lot of sports fans will agree with me. It has become a joke. You let your wide receiver go. J.J. Watt is gone. These are prime time big players. Yes, J.J. Watt at times has battled through injuries. He's still a very productive player. That's a red flag. That is a huge red flag. And the fact of the matter is this. Yes, Deshaun Watson was paid, but he was visibly not happy with the situation in Houston and was vocal about it at times. He was respectful, but vocal about it. You could tell. So you mean to tell me that around all season time, around this time, all of a sudden, somebody who has never, ever had no altercations with his players, he's had no troubled incidents, he's a model citizen, takes care of his family, you don't hear his name in any drama whatsoever, randomly, all of a sudden, these sexual misconduct accusations come up? I find that a little bit weird for somebody who doesn't have a history of any of that stuff whatsoever. This guy, for the most part, he's been a model citizen. I don't even think he's got a criminal record. I highly doubt it. And that's what's fishy about the situation. And this is really all I got to say. I hope they get down to the bottom of it, because the reality of the situation is, man, accusations like this shift your future. There's no way around it. It just shifts your future. So I know people are going to play conspiracy theories. Well, like, well, you know, did he make up this? I heard some wild rumor that there's a possibility that Deshaun Watson may have made up this story so his value could go down, so he could get a job at the Miami Dolphins just to get out of Houston. Ain't nobody putting.
That's an interestingly strategic plan as risk.
Yeah, that's very risky. I don't see Deshaun Watson or any football player of that matter doing some crazy stuff like that. Within their right mind, especially him, no. I think it's a rumor. I think it's a, you know, I at the end of the day, I hope that the truth comes out. I hope that the family of Deshaun Watson is okay. We're sending prayers just over the whole situation, because that's just a rough situation to be in. You're somewhere you're not happy with, and then you got to battle this. Just as you're about to, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, there's like rumors you're about to go to Miami. There's rumors you're about to, you know, you've been tagged to go to Denver, meet with Denver, see what opportunities they got in the quarterback situation. And then now this happens.
Right.
If the ladies actually have evidence, I'm not saying that ladies don't. I'm saying this isolated incident for the first time is making me question a lot of stuff when it comes to these sexual accusations. I want everybody to be heard, but at the same time, I definitely got my eyebrow raised. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think it gets tricky when you talk about sexual misconduct. You know, with the statistics being so ridiculously high of women being abused, it's so easy to, you know, believe any woman who says, oh, hey, this happened. Especially because the stigma behind it usually does not cater favorably to women. We're starting to see a little bit of a shift now where, you know, men get thoroughly condemned if they're accused, regardless if we know the facts or not. And I think that just comes down to, you know, social media and everybody getting to state their opinion on a situation that they were not present for. But as I know, many of our women friends would say, you know, if I don't care what the situation is, if a woman says she was sexually abused, I'm going to believe her, because it's so, it happens so often and it's been silenced for so long, it can be hard for us as men to conceive that. So you telling me 9 out of 10 of us sexually harass women? Like 9 out of 10, not like 5 out of 10, but 9 out of 10, you know what I'm saying? So it's haunting to feel like, you know, when you think about how many male friends you have, it's haunting to think that any of them could have conducted any kind of sexual misconduct there. And I'll play devil's advocate in this sense, because I can speak, unfortunately, I can speak to conduct of mine in the past that could have come off as sexual misconduct. That that term is a bit of an umbrella term too, because, you know, the media we grew up watching was, you know, Disney movies where the prince pursued the princess and the tenacity of being a man and, you know, women, you know, being showcased like, oh no, I like to be chased. So it's muddied up our relationships. So a lot of the things that, you know, I know me and some of my friends did was normal because that's what was portrayed, you know, even in music. You know, and I don't want to say this is anybody's fault. It's just how we absorbed the media. You know, Beyonce's Soldier talks about, you know, the fantasizing and the fetishizing of a brother from the hood who's aggressive. And I mean, there are many songs that are like that, you know. And so when this media is absorbed, when, you know, it's not just, you know, one particular person who's affected by it, it's all of us, because we're even as observers, we're watching, oh, this is what these people are into, or this is what this sex is into. Okay, so this is what I should emulate if I want to attract a mate, or this is what I should emulate if I want to da 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 da. And that's a vulnerable time to be exposed to the type of media that we were exposed to. We were literally preteens going into teenagers when our hormones were the most active. So we're just copying what we think makes sense based off of what we see all the time. But there's no media that shows you, oh, talk to a woman like she's a person. You know, there were hints and jokes about it in certain shows, but our media never focused on it because the media we watch is more focused on the drama aspect, the comedy aspect, the, ooh, this is edgy aspect. And when you have children that grow up with only that, and really no proper guidance, because we come from the generation of baby boomers who were wonderful for discipline, not so much when it came to mental health. So we're the generation millennials who are scratching below the surface of mental health. Problem is, we lack a little bit, and forgive me for any millennials I insult, I'm a millennial too, but overall as a generation, we do lack discipline in the way baby boomers had it. Now, whether that's good or bad is in your reflection of your own personal life. Are you happy with where your life is? If not, maybe you're missing some discipline things. If you are happy, maybe you found the right balance. But the truth of the matter is baby boomers were solid when it came to discipline, not at so much when it came to mental health for the majority. I'm not saying everybody, because, you know, they were parents who knew what they were doing. And as millennials, we're giving down to Gen Z and them better mental health, but discipline's a little shaky. And again, that's where that will become an issue is not going to be found until the next generation of kids are born. You know, there are some things that my daughter will say that I'm just like, well, child, you don't even know. If I said that to my mama. But, you know, not in the sense that she's trying to be disrespectful. She's just expressing her honest feelings in the moment. So it's about teaching people, okay, how do we tailor this message so you don't get smacked in the mouth? Because not everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, I understand. That was an emotionally charged response. Here's how to fix it. Some people are just going to slap you in the mouth. Going to be like, who are you talking to, bro? So,
right.
You know.
Right. I definitely agree, man. It's a learning experience and a learning lesson all involved.
Yeah.
Also, what we have learned is that Samaria Rice, Lisa Simpson, mothers of Tamir Rice and Richard Fisher, respectfully, are slamming civil rights activists, attorneys, and organizations for allegedly exploiting the deaths of their sons. They ask Tamika Mallory, Sean King, Benjamin Crump, Lee Merritt, and several others, including the Black Lives Matter organization, not the movement, the organization, to step down and stop monopolizing and capitalizing on their fight for justice and human rights. Where do we begin with this one? The first thing I want to say is I want to speak from the perspective of the family. The trauma, the never-ending trauma that you face when you go through a situation like that is unimaginable. To turn around and see the pain and to turn around and see the fact that they are never going to be the same again. That family, I don't care how much money you throw at them, they're never going to be the same again. I was actually listening to Samira Rice, who is the mother of Tamir Rice. The interview, she actually got an interview with D.L. Hughley where she vented and talked about how she did not like the fact that Tamika Mallory was at the Grammys doing her performance with Little Baby or doing her speech. And while, yes, it was eloquent and very, you know, well spoken, as Tamika Mallory is known for being, none of the mothers were represented on that stage. She said, I didn't see anything that harkened back to us, that pushed the narrative even more to us. Yes, she had no problem with the Little Baby performance, but the fact that she was bothered by seeing Tamika Mallory there practically by herself for that opening segment, it was like, okay, you're not going to bring the mothers beside you and talk and do that same speech. There have been criticisms of Sean King. There have been criticisms of these activists. What a lot of these people are tired of is they're tired of the noise and no conviction.
Mm-hmm.
They are tired of these activists will come out, stand with the family, cop gets off with a slap on the wrist. This kid doesn't get justice. He gets taken out of this world. I'm left grieving and nothing is done. No legislation, no bill passed. I might get a couple memorials here and there for my son, out of sympathy, which is well deserved, but I don't get justice. I'm still waking up and carrying on the hurt still. I don't get closure from this in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is going through their mind. Now, I am not in close conversations with any of this activist, with any of these activists. I'm not in close conversation with any of these people. I know there's been criticism on Sean King. Tamika Mallory, this is the first time I've heard criticism about her. And maybe it's because as she's becoming more prevalent and more in the spotlight, I think that that may have an avocat to it. But all I'm going to say is this, and Sean, I'm going to let you have the floor after I say this. This is the last thing I got to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Activists, make sure that when you stand in the gap and speak for the family members, this isn't a moment that passes. This is a building relationship, a lifelong building relationship. The work doesn't stop if you end up getting a conviction, which by the looks of it nowadays is a slim chance of that happening. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop there. You have to understand the totality of what they are dealing with. They're not getting, these are two mothers that are not getting justice for what happened. That's just two. We could name more. She probably isn't going to be the only one speaking out. There is going to be more. Mm-hmm. And I need the activists to understand what potentially might happen. Remember earlier when I said if a ruckus between people fighting for the same thing starts, the racist person will look at that as a time to strike in the midst of, I'm not saying that they don't have a valid point, but they will use that as an opportunity to divide, steal, kill, destroy again, manipulate.
Yeah.
In a hot flash second. So, activists, if you're going to stand in the gap for these families, please do it. I'm not accusing these people of anything, but that's just a message and encouragement. Please stand in the gap 100% and nothing less. Sean?
I think we also have to start standing in the shoes of our oppressors. Like, what's the next move for, you know, white nationalism or the racist media? How would you move next? Let me tell you how I would move. Okay, cool. It seems to be a stir about using the imagery of, you know, these victims of police brutality. You know what? Let's stir up some more. Let's bring up all the names of the people who didn't get a campaign after them. They got a hashtag, but they didn't get a march. They didn't get a campaign. They didn't get this, this, that, and the third. The you know, Alton Sterling, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, Philando Castile, names we know off the top of our heads. How about the names we don't know? The names that aren't at the top of the list, the names in the middle. Well, let's see how those families are doing, and let's plant a seed to other people to talk about how come we don't focus more on these, you know? You got to think of any way. Every time I look at a piece of content, I always look and ask myself, all right, how can this be divisive? Because 9 times out of 10, it was written a particular way to make you feel a certain thing. That's why, you know, and here's my plug, as I plug it all the time. We need to start teaching rhetoric and psychology in schools from the K-5 level into the college level, because it doesn't make sense that every human being is born with two things that are integral to survival. Your mind, psychology, study of the mind, and rhetoric, study of communication. Everybody has thoughts and everyone has a method to express those thoughts, whether they're verbal, physical, that's just two things we are automatically born with. And we literally base our entire lifestyle on expressing those things until we die. So why are we not being taught how to tailor and craft both of these things that we use on a daily basis? Because it's easier to just tell people what to think, tell people what to say, so you can be in control. So we need to do better at paying attention to the functionality of our minds and our communication, which means we have to study other people. We have to study our oppressors. We have to study other cultures, because we have to know this world, back to the me thing, it's not your individual world. You share it with billions of other people. And at any given time, you know, you could get surprised just because somebody thought, you know, common courtesy was different on a different day than you did, or just because they had a bad day. And to trace it back to the, you know, parents, that's hard. That's hard to wake up every day and see people profiting off of the death of your child, and you don't get a say in it. Think about how many people have made money off of Black Lives Matter this or Black Lives Matter that, or, you know, using Tamir Rice's face on something, or creating t-shirts for Tamir Rice, but the profits don't go to the families. It just goes to somebody else's pocket.
Not even a small percentage.
What I'm going to say to the activists or people who call themselves activists, make sure you're not capping. Don't cap. Are you doing this because you actually care about the cause, or are you doing it because you want to be a notable influencer in the cause? Because there's a difference. If you just want to be a figurehead, which a lot of people do, they just don't want to admit it, then say that. Say, I just want to be a figurehead. I just want to be a sounding board. I don't want to do any of the actual work. I just want to be the person who gets people riled up. But if you're actually down to do it, then like you said, it's a commitment. Are you in this to get justice for Tamir Rice's family? Are you going to stick with that case and always provide help and resources and whatever you can until there's justice found? Or are you just doing it because, oh, okay, Tamir Rice is trending again. This is cool. I'm going to do this. Who else is trending? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Are you going to keep making profit? Are you going to keep making profit and progress? Because it's tiring at this point. It's cool that you're making a profit, but the people you're profiting off of aren't seeing progress, and that's what they believed in you for in the first place. So that's my thoughts on that. Is this the hill you want to die on? Because truth be told, you have to be willing to die. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, why does it have to take all that? Well, look at all of world history. There were people who had to die for change. And, you know, people think that every person who died wanted to die. There were plenty of people who wanted change but didn't want to die. But it was the sacrifice that they made because they believed in the cause. So, don't cap. Yes.
Yeah, no definitely cap. Don't cap. Definitely do not cap. I want to bring this topic up, but I'm not going to stay too much on it. Little Mama wants to start a heterosexual rights movement to advocate against the bullying heterosexuals allegedly face from the LGBTQIA community. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to start off unpacking this. If you're going to start a movement, there has to be, what is the mission statement? What is the cause? What is the actual goal that you are trying to accomplish? You just starting a movement that counteracts another movement with no sense of regulation, regard, like it just seems kind of messy in the long term. Here's something I will say. If she came out and said, I want to do kind of a heterosexual movement where we are in communication with that community so we can learn from each other and grow. And we may not understand one another, but we just want better education between the life of somebody from the LGBTQ community and also get better understanding education on that. I think if she went that route, that makes sense. But, you know, when you sit over here and you say the bullying the heterosexuals face, I don't know if it's necessarily bullying. Here's something you got to understand. Back in the 90s, right? People were saying the F word out loud. Back in the 90s and how me and Sean were growing up, people were saying that out loud. There was no respect for people in that community. None whatsoever. I know people that were called that back in the day. So we fast forward to now. Am I going to sit here and say that there are some moments where somebody who is heterosexual is just asking a question for educational purposes and maybe the hurt and pain and trauma that somebody who was not able to be themselves and identify as what they really were got triggered and may have overstepped and set and may have assumed something when it wasn't that the case? Yes, that has totally happened. I've seen it happen, and that does happen. Does that need to be corrected? Yes. Does there need to be a whole heterosexual rights movement? Hell no, not in my opinion. There doesn't need to be. Let's be for real. Heterosexuals have privileges that people from the other community don't. People ain't looking at you crazy. You're the norm. You're the norm in a lot of people's eyes. People ain't looking at you nuts. That's the privilege that you have as somebody that is straight. So when I hear heterosexual rights movement, what is the goal here? Is the goal to get education to build a bridge? Or are we being divisive? Which one is it? And so that's my standpoint. That's really all I got to say. Like, if we are, okay, in an individual case, if you got somebody on the other side that's being hateful and they just hate heterosexuals, they hate heterosexuals, okay, that's a totally different story. We're going, yeah, we got to correct that and put that person in a place respectfully, not in a violent way, just respectfully correct them on that. However, with this, heterosexuals are not being assaulted and brutalized for being straight. There is no need for a heterosexual rights movement, in my personal opinion. If you want to have a discussion where we can build bridges and kind of learn from one another. Now, keep in mind, I'm saying all this. You don't have to agree with every aspect of that lifestyle. You don't have to understand every aspect of that lifestyle, but you doggone sure got to show some respect. And that's my point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd caution you to switch your rhetoric from saying that lifestyle, because it's...
Does it come off as hateful? I ain't mean to be hateful.
No.
Does it come off as hateful? Oh, okay.
I'm just letting you know for the future. You know, I think around about 2016, it started to say that lifestyle, which, you know, usually came from the church background because it was the nice way of saying, you know, we don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it turned into kind of the...
It was code for saying we don't F with those people. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. And okay. It's kind of like Caucasians saying the N-word because it was in a song now.
Oh, and so okay. See, I appreciate the education. No, you're good.
But yeah, so when you say that lifestyle, it comes off as, oh, you're attributing, you know, this, the sexuality thing to like a choice. You know what I'm saying? Like they choose to be this. That's how it's gotten, you know, the rhetoric has gotten mangled up. So when you say lifestyle, people get really like, what do you mean lifestyle? Are you saying they chose this? And then it just starts to escalate. So just the hot tip for you for the future, because I don't want anyone to come back and say, oh, did you hear Everett says the lifestyle? You know?
Yeah, next thing you know, they'll be coming at me. What you mean? I'm like, yeah.
It'll be the one episode that they watch and they're just like, oh, so right. Everett is yay bashing on audio airstrike.
Right.
So, you know, you know how people can be. And yeah. To follow up on that point, let's just be honest, you know, and if it hurts y'all feelings, and I say y'all, like the viewers, all viewers, if it hurts anybody's feeling, I apologize, but I'm going to just be honest. There are hypocrites in every community. There are hypocrites in the gay community. There are people, there are toxic and violent people in the gay community. There are trolls and people who want to just take advantage of the, you know, the situation. And that's not to say that's everyone. By far, it is definitely not. But, you know, as far as the little mama thing, if you're going to come out and say you want to start a movement for a group that's been the majority, then you need to not sound like an impetulant child. And I don't mean that in a mean way, because I read Little Mama's post. You know, she said, not all of you, some of y'all act like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, is Little Mama wrong in that? No, but if you're going to start a movement around it, then it needs to be about, oh, okay, guys, I've heard, you know, we need to know what your personal experience is. Okay, have you, Little Mama, experienced LGBTQIA+ bullying because you were heterosexual? Because we have to remember something. A lot of people clown Little Mama not because she's heterosexual, but, you know, for other reasons. And I won't speak on those reasons. We all know them. Anybody watching knows them. If you don't, look them up. Look up Little Mama/Bow Wow. That's all I'm going to say. People in the LGBTQIA+ community have literally been bullied, killed, maimed, literally treated like garbage because of their sexuality. Like, we have cases across centuries of it happening. It's literally some people live their lives justifying their prejudice religiously against these people. That doesn't exist for heterosexual people. So if you're going to start a movement to counteract something where people were religiously being killed for something that they couldn't control, you know, wherever you stand on that argument, then you can't just come off sounding like you're doing it because somebody from the LGBTQIA community hurt your feelings. You need to have, you know, hey, I've been hearing a lot of stories. Here are some links that I've been noticing. Did you know this kid got bullied because he was, you know, heterosexual? Did you hear this kid? It seems to be like, if you can show us trending cases of, oh, it seems like LGBTQIA plus people are bullying heterosexual kids because, you know, et cetera, then that's something people can get behind. But right now, with the post that she had that I saw, it just sounds like, you know, a couple of gay people or people from the LGBTQIA plus community hurt your feelings or said something disrespectful to you, and you decided, oh, okay, well, I'm tired of all this bullying that's happening, so I'm going to show you guys. Is it a movement or is it your feelings? And there's a difference there. A movement does start from personal feelings, but a movement grows from personal feelings and becomes about other people. And right now, you know, I don't see that from Little Mama. Now, if she ends up providing some links and some tea and she's just like, look, here's 100 people who were killed by LGBTQIA plus people in the past month. It's a growing rise. They're trying to kill us. Then, okay, then maybe we need to, you know, get together and have a conversation about why these things are happening and put some protection in place for everybody. But as far as starting a movement against straight people being bullied, that's like, that's the sexual equivalent of a white tears sometimes. Like, that sounds like to me. I can't, you know, I don't like to mix sexuality and race, but that is what it makes me think about. Like, I just can't imagine. But yeah, you know, if it's a movement, if you want to start a movement, then you need to have hardcore facts, and you need to come off with those facts so people can get behind your message, because you're talking about a group of people who have been marginalized for centuries, killed religiously, emotionally, like still to this day, we can't even unify as, you know, black men, because we're still on the, oh, I don't, that's kind of suspect, or that's kind of on the down low, or that's kind of this. Like, when your race finds an issue in the male community with hugging, because they don't know how to perceive a hug.
Right.
Come on now. We got bigger problems. I'm sorry.
Right. It makes sense. It definitely makes sense. I'm only going to spend probably like a couple sentences on this topic. Justin Bieber ripped some MLK clips to put in his new album that had nothing that I listened to the whole album. It's a nice album. I am not bashing the album. The MLK stuff felt out of place. I guess, now I'll give him credit for this. I'm kind of shocked he put it in there. Because the whole album did not go with, in my personal opinion, with any of them MLK clips. I mean, but Bernice King appreciated for him doing it. So, I mean, hey, you know, I guess that's a thing.
If you watching this, did Justin cut you a fat check? Is that why you said that was cool? Be honest. Like, I'm not going to judge you if it's the truth. Fat checks is fat checks.
He didn't cut me a check. I just found that out of place that you would put MLK clips on an album. That is something I will say. That was out of place. There was nothing on that album. There was no civil rights sounding track on that album to make you put an MLK soundbite, two of them, on this album. Your thoughts? I just thought it was out of place.
I'm telling you, they cut Bernice King a check. They asked Bernice King, hey, can we use this? And she was like, what in this album is about civil rights? And they were like, $45 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he uses quotes. Yeah. He would have wanted it that way. Because, you know, when you think about it, he wanted unity for all people. So why, you know, it should be good for, you know, because, and Justin Bieber is like the president of the white community. So yeah, he could, the quotes could go in there. Yes, Bernice. Yeah. and I can deposit that today. She got a cut. She had to have gotten a check. Yeah,
she definitely got a check.
Ain't no way.
King,
no disrespect, Miss King, if you ever end up watching this. It struck me as odd, too, because I did not hear. I only listened to one song, so I can't speak to the whole album. But the song I listened to had nothing to do with the quote that was at the beginning. So I was just kind of like, is my man just talking about a hot girl? Or because this
it was very out of place. I would not put that on an album. If his album was talking about unity and bringing races together, that's a totally different thing. And if you put that on there, fine. I listened to that whole album. Ain't a damn thing on there about civil rights.
Yeah, that confused me. I'm gonna chalk that one up to me just getting old. I'm gonna chalk that one up to me getting old, but in the back of my head, I'm just gonna keep telling myself they cut Bernice a check, because if they cut me a check for $45 million, I'd be like, yeah, it's fine, cool. I can work with that.
So let me ask you this question, man. Picture this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Demina and you are in a nice fancy dinner. You're at this top of the line steakhouse. Salt Bae comes through. Anybody who knows Salt Bae, look him up. Sprinkles of salt all over the steak. Man, next thing you know, he cuts off a piece of steak and he feeds people.
Mm-hmm.
He hands a piece to Demina right in front of you. Do you feel some type of way that you got another man feeding your wife steak that way? I just wanted to know.
So yeah, I'm not against the showmanship of, you know, if you feed your customer steak, because here's the thing, man. You just fed my wife some steak. I know you about to feed me some steak too. She got a piece. I want two pieces. Feed me, young. Feed me, and sprinkle the salt in there too while you're at it, while you're here. Now, I saw some comments that were just like, my biggest concern is more so that he's sprinkling salt on people's steak with no gloves coming off his arm hair during a pandemic. And I'm just like, damn, y'all. Y'all can't go. Y'all can't enjoy the experience. Y'all still scared about the pandemic, which is a good fear to have, but.
Crazy.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. Like, I'm the first one. He'd probably feed me first, because I'd be sitting there just looking at him like, suddenly, life has new meaning to me. He feeding me first before he feed her, so I should, don't bother me now.
You'd be on cloud nine, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. I'd be sitting there ready. I'd be watching that steak. Oh, it's done. I'm not the right person to ask, because I'm getting fed first, fucker.
Oh, you a fool, man.
I'm paying. I'm probably paying. Nah, give me my piece of steak for feed me first. Feed me first.
Yeah. Most ungentleman thing you could do at a table. Oh, feed me first. Your whole wife is standing there, bro. Like, what the hell?
She alright. You get her. I gotta, cause see, as the provider and the protector, I gotta taste it first to make sure it's not poison. Cause see, if I eat it first and I die, then she knows to leave and go get dinner somewhere else and maybe call a hospital. But if she eat it first, then how I'ma look? And she died, and everybody gonna say, wow, you didn't even protect your wife from poisonous steak. So I'll take the first hit.
You know what you're acting like? You're acting like Derek Jackson with dreads. That's exactly what you're acting
like.
You try to go first and then find your reasoning for why you should go first over the lady.
I gotta protect. We got to protect our women, and if that means we have to taste the food before they get to taste it, it's okay. Normalize protecting women by tasting their food before they eat it, in the same way they take a piece off our plate just to taste it.
We'll see. We'll see if that gets normalized. But one thing One thing when it comes to normalizing protecting black women, if there's anybody that has been sucking at that for the past couple of years after being so hypocritical, is none other than Derrick Jackson, and we're going to get right into it. So it has been circling around the entire internet that a guru, somebody who is not a trained professional, somebody that is giving advice based off his experiences or other people's experiences, Derrick Jackson, is a self-proclaimed relationship guru. He was married. He got exposed for cheating on his wife. At first, when the news was about to come out, he hid or limited his comments. He deleted posts, but then he finally confessed with his wife by his side in one of the most awkward apology videos I've ever seen. And I'm gonna be honest with you, the fact that we did not see this female, his wife, in none of his videos up until this point, to me, that screams manipulation. I don't think the apology video was sincere based on my knowledge and based on what from what I've seen. Y'all can say I'm being judgmental. I don't care what y'all say. I'm going to say it. This is the one time that I'm not going to be politically correct. You cannot stand over here and talk about how cheating is wrong. You cannot do that and then turn around and do this. And I hate, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is triggering to me, and I'm going to say this. Do I think everybody has a chance to redeem themselves? I do, depending on what it is. And that's just my selfish knowledge. I mean, that's just my perspective. I have a limit. There's some stuff you can't come back from based on how my morals are. I know it may be different for Sean. It may be different for mutual friends that we know. I know for me, there is some stuff you just can't come back from. The fact that this dude did a whole apology video, but you put a link underneath to sell your book, shows me how unsincere your trifling behind is. This is not the time to sell books. You messed up royally. You didn't protect your black wife royally, and you royally screwed up. And women have been coming out with the receipts about your infidelity. And the sad thing about it is that you put yourself in this position. You know the ins and outs, supposedly, with all the content that you put up. You know the ins and outs. Or at least you give the impression that you do. I don't want to hear about your book. I don't want to hear about you using this and turning this into a profit. Because that means that that apology video, which was awkward anyway, and she can say, talk about healing and this and that, and talk about God, that's great. I'm looking at the eyes, Sean. Them eyes tell me she ain't healed not one bit. I look at body language. I pay attention to all that. Everything about that, in my personal opinion, was awkward. Now, I know what some of his fans are going to say. You're a black man bashing another black man. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to hold you accountable for the dumb stuff that you do. This is me looking out for black women, too. I'm going to hold you accountable for the fact that you are standing beside somebody that is willing to go through hell with you, and you squandered that sense of loyalty. I can't give you a pass for that. Yes, I'm coming off harsh. Yes, I'm hard on him. Because at his age, he should know better. This is not we're sitting over here, we're trying to hold this man to the fire. It's called about accountability. And sometimes a lot of people want advice, but they don't want accountability.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of heads want to come over here and get and give advice and give the game, but they don't want no accountability when they're doing dirt. This dude did dirt, and you're going to be held accountable for it. So I don't want to hear about your book, because you come off very unsincere, manipulative, and very hurtful. And I'm going to say this to his fans. Specifically ladies, because a lot of ladies listen to his content. I would encourage you to stop going to these dudes' platforms that target you, know how to target you, know how to trigger you, and manipulate you to support their brand. Do your own due diligence. Stop going to these internet, so-called internet relationship gurus that think they know everything. Do you know how many of these relationship gurus online have had failed marriages, divorces? And I'm not saying you can't learn something from that, but I'm just saying if they're professing themselves as this perfect being or as somebody who is a teacher of a certain class of relationship, and you find out as you look through their background, they have all this dirt about the divorces they've been in, the stuff that they've gone through. I'm not saying they're still not capable of giving somewhat good advice, but you do have to vet it. And so that's really all I got to say, man. This man has turned around, has given advice at the same time, bashed men, and now you sound like the most hypocritical dude on the internet. And if you are going to protect your wife, don't put her on the internet to have a bunch of people that don't know her comment. I think that was a wrong move. That's just me. She's not in any one of your videos at all. And I'm going to be honest, man, I look at him. I don't think this was a sincere apology. I don't think this was anything sincere, especially when I see cash for profit underneath. So I'm going to close with this. Either way, he better fix it. I don't think his wife is ever going to trust him the same way again, especially when it's multiple women. So now you bring in their sloppy seconds into your wife's space. And then you have content where it's talking about uplifting women. What kind of nonsense are you trying to pull? And most men are seeing through this, because if you say something with a certain level of diction, almost like that you're immune, that you're better than or perfect, it'd be different if he said, look, I was having an affair with multiple women, and this is what I learned from it. If he said that out the gate, it's more sincere. It's more heartfelt, because he's expressing, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. This is what's really going on. Not you, you know, you having this very, authoritative view on relationships, like you've had it pretty much good this whole time. Right. I didn't know he was married till the video came out. So that's my statement, man. You better get it together. You got time for none of this insincere crap. Better get it together. That's all I got to say. Look, you know what you did. I ain't name call you too bad. I did go in on you. It's called accountability. You don't like it? Tough. You and your feelings? Tough. You look like a straight simp. Do something different. Be a stand-up dude and take care of that. That's what you look like. I stayed away from bashing this dude. But you up here making a black woman look dumb? No. Can't stand for that. Sean, your thoughts before I say something else.
It's always tricky looking at situations like that, even more so tricky now that I'm married. My parents, who have been married for years, happily married, never, at least never to me, I've never witnessed any kind of discourse in their relationship. And that was always because they focused on, you know, each other. And I remember right before I got married, my mom, I didn't expect my mom to tell me this, but my mom told me this, and she was just like, you just have to remember that you made a commitment to that person, sickness and health, ever through everything. That being said, there are going to be some times where you feel like, oh, this is too much. I did not sign up for this. But you always have to remember why you got together in the first place. So it always resonates with me because, yeah, there have been times since I've been married where I'm just like, this is what I signed up for. This isn't even fair. I'm only one person. You know what I'm saying? There are times where I'm so emotionally overwhelmed that it's kind of like, I don't know what I can do. Was it a mistake to get married? Am I not built for marriage? You know, it's just things happen. You know, sharing a space and sharing a life with somebody is not something to be taken lightly. A lot of people think of it as this delightful thing that you do with somebody you like more than other people. And so because you like them more than other people, it's probably a perfect union to happen. But if you want to find out quickly how much your perceived pedestal opinion of somebody can change, then marriage will teach you that. Marriage will teach you that there are flaws within a person that you never expected. There are idiosyncrasies that you never thought would bother you until they do. There are opinions and, you know, certain things that will be said or done that rub you the wrong way, and you have to be willing to communicate those things. You can't be the kind of person who's just like, oh, that bothers me, but I don't want to say anything because it might start an argument. I'm gonna just handle my business over here. You always have to be communicating, and it's easy also to sit up here and say this on a podcast, but there are times where I can't communicate. And we have to find a way. It's work. I was saying, if you are not getting married for any other reason than to serve your partner, don't get married. Because you're getting married. You are probably getting married for not the correct reasons. And why you're getting married is completely up to you. Just be sure that I'll rephrase that. Be sure that you are both on the same accord. Because it's all fun and games until you see who that person is when their family member dies. When you see who that person is when they have a chronic illness. When you see who that person is when you're raising children. You're seeing different facets and you're seeing an evolving person for the rest of your life while you too are evolving. So as far as that whole thing with homeboy and his wife, I didn't even really know about him until you told me we were talking about him on the podcast. I was like, who is this guy? I was like, oh, he gives relationship advice. Oh, he been cheating the whole time he been giving relationship advice. I mean, anybody would know.
Do you see why anybody now,
would know be a cheater?
Right. Now, Sean, you know, when I sound like how I sound when I was holding him accountable, you know you royally screwing up. If I sound like that, you've heard me with a sharp tone like this. It's nuts, right, man. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hilariously ironic. You know, I can never speak for a black woman ever. When I saw her, I just saw somebody who I don't even think she enjoys being on camera. I would say that's why she was never in anything. Because you can, and then I think what bothered me too is a lot of people were clowning her for being in a bonnet and this, that, and the third. Now, I don't know if that was something that, you know, maybe he is super manipulative and got her like that, or if she's just at peace with who she is and she don't care. Like, she's just like, oh, well, yeah, I'll go on this video to help you clear your name, but I'm not dressing up. I'm not finna be on there with like a big old ring on my finger and being this. Like, you cheated, me and you, because, you know, they hashed it out. The two of them hashed it out. What we're seeing is just what they decided to promote. And people forget that when celebrities or anybody you like or follow or whatever, they're putting out a video, there's stuff that has been said that you're not getting. You know, they have to click record, they have to talk, think about what they're gonna say, they have to go and edit it, and then they give it out to you. There's so much stuff that was talked about between the two of them that we'll never know about. Perhaps she did truly forgive him and she's sick of it. Maybe she didn't and she's still hurting, but he be making money off of this stuff. So she just like, look, I'll come on here so you can clear your name, but you buying me, you taking me on a nice vacation since this had to come back up. We don't know. It could be a whole bunch of different things. What we do know is it is hilariously ironic that you are a relationship guru and you've been cheating the whole length of your relationship and the whole length of your guru career. Now, that's where it's just like, I have to laugh at that scenario because everything else is so between the two of y'all and whatever y'all are doing that I can't sit here and fathom. You know, did he cheat? Yeah, probably. Is she forgive him? Is she healed? I don't know. But I mean, it's none of my business. That's, at the end of the day, that's their relationship. And their relationship is modeled off of them. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, every other relationship that you will have with someone else is modeled off of you and that person. So, you know, I wish her peace. I wish them both peace. Honestly, I wish her peace. I wish him peace. You know, but boy, that is funny that you're a relationship guru talking about cheating and outing men's secrets and this, that, and the third. You was just, basically, he was just making a memento. He was just saying, this is what I do without saying, this is what I do.
All right. Hey, Derek, don't screw up again. All right. Don't screw up again. I'll tell you right now, if you put her in that same place again, she is not staying. I've seen it happen. Don't screw up. Don't. Just gonna move on. We're going on to our friendly fire segment, and it's basically commenting on shocking behavior in one sentence. The first topic is a California man is sentenced to 212 years after drowning a disabled son for an insurance payout.
Thanks.
Here's my one sentence. You deserve it. That's my one sentence. What's yours?
What happened, bro? Because, you know, it's easy to say you deserve it. It's easy to say burn in hell. It's easy to say may God smite you. Yeah, I feel all of those things. But at the end of the day, I want to know what happened. At what point were you so overwhelmed that you looked at that child and said, I'm going to just drown this MF so I can get the money and live my life? Like, as a father of two, it is stressful raising kids. I can only imagine, you know, the stress that comes from, you know, raising a disabled child too. And that's not to just say because it's the disabled child, there's our government, our system of capitalism doesn't cater to people who, or at least in my opinion, doesn't cater enough to helping and aiding and providing the right resources for people with disabilities and their caretakers. I just don't believe that they do, because every person I meet always has some kind of gripe or issue with it, unless they're, you know, filthy rich. So I really want to know what happened. Was it because, you know, you had that child, you were taking care of that child, you loved that child at some point. What happened in our society that shifted that focus? And maybe it wasn't in our society, maybe, you know, it was in you, but still, that's the answer. That's the question I want to know, because to me, that gets us closer to the root of the problem. And if we can get closer to the root of the problem, then perhaps we can find, oh, here's the problem. The problem wasn't this person in particular, just this person in particular. It was the horrific existential crisis that is capitalism and being a parent of a disabled child in a capitalist society. You know,
yeah.
I completely condemn an action like that, but you know, after I've condemned it because it happens too often, I need to know what is pushing us to this point, what is pushing us to this level of apathy where we can literally in our heads decide, yep, this child's gonna die because I can't do it anymore, or for whatever reason, because I don't like it, because I don't want to do it, or whatever. But we need to get into that mindset so we can figure out where it's derivative of. I think, you know, we run into, and I know I'll say it more than one sentence.
You said a whole freaking paragraph. You said a first page. This is Friendly Fire segment. It's one sentence.
My bad. My one sentence is what happened, bro. I just felt I had to explain that because I didn't want people to be like, what? What kind of weird one sentence is that?
Yeah, but I'm going to just switch gears here to Miami Beach. Miami Beach declares emergency for a spring break curfew. Basically, people were wilding in Miami Beach to the point it caused a curfew. We've seen videos of what it's like out there. I'm going to say this. Y'all are reckless. I don't know what else to say. Y'all are reckless. Y'all need to get that together. Sean?
One sentence. Y'all wild.
Yep.
That's what I'm going with. Y'all wild.
Another topic that has come up, and I can't believe this is one of the wildest stories. So, DoorDash. A lot of people who use it this pandemic. Apparently, a DoorDash driver held a customer's food in exchange for sexual relations. Now, come on, bro. If there was ever a sexual assault if there was ever a sexual assault accusation or making that advancement, fam, this is it. First thing, I'm gonna let you do two sentences because the story is that wild.
Okay, my first sentence is gonna be ignorant. How fine was she, bro? That you had to hold her food that she paid for ransom. Like, how fine was she that she was like, nah, I can't give her her food. I gotta get with her before I give her this food. Like, what? Second sentence. Niggas, you crazy? She paid for that food. You can't. It's like the audacity. That is some Cracker Barrel stuff if I ain't never heard it. Yes, we know you paid for this food, but yeah, we're going to have to request sexual relations. What? Excuse me? I did not go to work, yell at my boss because they racist, to come home and have you hold my food ransom because you need to crack one open, buddy. What?
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. That is nuts. My question is this. My sentence, I should say, is this. You know you're wrong. And also, what were you thinking? Like, it's like, come on. It's crazy. It's nuts. Moving on, I want to get to our Take Flight Talk. That's another segment where we kind of have a life discussion. I'm only probably going to spend 5 minutes on this. Does loyalty have an expiration date with people nowadays? I'm going to let you ponder that while I give out these thoughts. There used to be a time that loyalty meant I have your back until the end. There used to be a time where loyalty meant that I have your back through thick and thin, no matter what. Nowadays, loyalty has become more conditional. People play Halloween and make you think that they are the most loyal friend that you have until the condition does not go for their benefit. And when you cannot provide the first, second, or third favor. With that being said, I do think that we need to get to a point where we teach people what true loyalty is, not just through our words, but through our actions. Sean, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's been, honestly, I think it's been the same as it's always been since the world's been turning. I think it goes back to when we talked about relationships, you know. It's easy to say, I got you. It's easier said than done. It's easy to be like, oh, yeah, I got you. Whatever you need, you know, let me know. Da, da, da. And then when the time comes, you ain't got it. And you don't want to have it because you're going through your own stuff. Like I said, we're social creatures, but we're inherently selfish because that's just how it is. That's how our genetic makeup works. Our cells are designed to survive or, you know, that, you know, and then if they survive, they split and then they, you know, multiply, whatnot. We're the same way. We're trying to survive. So, you know, when it comes to loyalty, I think it's just a matter of having that communication on what does that mean to the person you want loyalty from. For instance, as a content creator, do you want people to engage with your content? Well, you need to let them know that. What does that look like to you? What does engagement look like? You know, we have to have that clear conversation because sometimes people can look at something and really enjoy it, but not hit the like button, not hit the share button, not hit any button. And you know, that's a crazy concept to people like me and you who are just like, yeah, we know that we need this engagement for other people right. to see us. So naturally, if somebody I know puts something out, I'm going to at least hit a like on it so they know. But we live in such a consumeristic society that people are just consuming things. And we're getting to the point where people aren't even giving back as much as the click of a like or the tap at this point. You know what I'm saying? So you are right. There is a conversation that needs to be had, but I think also that conversation is going to be subjective to every person because, you know, loyalty to this person that, you know, loyalty to some is, yeah, you know, can I call on you when my car breaks down in the middle of the night? Loyalty to others is, nah, you can't call on me when your car breaks down in the middle of the night for me to come get you, but I can make a call to AAA and let you use my number because you don't got insurance. You know what I'm saying? It looks right. different. There are some people who will get up, drop everything they're doing, and come out and get you. There are other people who are like, oh, I can call somebody for you. I can call you an Uber. You can come here. Or I can call you an Uber and send you wherever you need to go. And then there are some people who are like, I don't know how to handle that situation, but I will send good vibes and prayers your way. You know what I'm saying? So,
can I say this as a side note?
Absolutely.
I've had people say sending good prayers and vibes your way. And depending on the person it's coming from, I take it as valid they're actually going to do those things. But then when I hear other people say it, sometimes it feels like a cop out, like,
definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely. I hate to be that dude, but nah, you know, sometimes it feels that way.
It is. Sometimes you just ain't got nothing for that person.
Yep.
Yeah, I've done it before, but I actually do say a prayer, like a quick prayer before I move on. But like I say it because it's like I feel like I got to say something because dang, that's a rough homie. But I ain't got anything I can do for you. Sometimes all you got is prayer and good vibes. And, you know, if that's what you got, then that's what you got. And, you know, some people say it because it's the pressure to acknowledge a situation because you kind of know that person. But, you know, like I said, it's subjective for everybody. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's day is different, you know. But it is a conversation that needs to be had because you get into the danger zone of expecting people to be loyal in the way you want them to be, and they might not know what that loyalty looks like. For instance, you know, there are tons of people who can come running to me to talk and vent about their personal problems and get good advice. But those tons of people, when it comes to my personal problems and advice, I can probably name, this is actually stretching it, five might be stretching it. You know what I'm saying? But I would say, dang, you know, these people really aren't my good friends because they're not here for me when I'm sad and depressed and need someone to talk to. But I also try to tailor and understand that, is this somebody who could give me advice? Or, you know, I'm used to dealing with a lot of heavy emotional baggage. Not everybody is. So a lot of people just kind of look at you like, I'm so sorry. I wish I knew what to do.
All right.
And you just kind of have to, you kind of have to know who are your ride or dies and who are your flag wavers.
Right.
Who will stand in the ring with you and fight and throw punches versus those who will cheer you on. Because both people are important. You need both.
Right.
So you just have to decipher who's who.
That is definitely true. The last topic that we're going to get to is an update on Delonte West, who is a former Dallas Mavericks basketball player. You know, he was kind of, you know, down. He's kind of on the ups and downs in terms of addiction and stuff of that nature. And it's, you know, his story kind of went viral, especially when Mark Cuban got the heads up about it and decided to use his resources to help out a former player that played for his organization. The update with him now is that he now has a job at the same facility that he was getting clean in. He now has a job at the Rebound Therapy Center in Florida, which is the rehab facility he attended. Dallas Maverick owner Mark Cuban reunited West with his mother in September. They have stayed close in contact. And that is a positive note that I want to end this on. That is super, super happy. I mean, that's a happy ending, man. Like, to go Absolutely. Through what he went through and stuff of that nature, you can't ask for anything more. A lot of people are not reporting this. I wanted to end this with some good news and stuff of that nature. This is very, very awesome. I'm happy for him and the family.
Same. Absolutely. Congratulations. Continue to walk and live and find that peace.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So that is pretty much it. Those are all the topics. Sean, I want to thank you for coming on once again. You know you're always welcomed on this show. I told you that countless of times. Yeah, man. So go ahead and plug where they can find you at. If you got any new material on the way and stuff of that nature, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It is always awesome to be a guest on Audio Airstrike. And as always, I'm always proud of you, my brother, for what you're doing, not just because you are following your dreams, but because you are consistently growing. I remember back when you were trying to figure out, you know, if this was going to be a thing. And not only is it, but you keep growing with new things, new lights, new materials, new topics. Like when you sent me that sheet, I was like, okay, you got links, you got everything. So I'm very proud of you. And it is an honor to know you as a creative. For my stuff, a lot of you may have noticed, and for those of you who haven't, Shaughnessy the King is no longer got his content on YouTube. I'm doing complete channel rebrand and deciding if I'm going to keep Shaughnessy the King or change it into something else. But when everything gets re-released, it's going to be a lot more polished and new. Been finding myself as a content creator all over again. So grateful for where I'm ending up. But what I will plug for now is my business page, High Resolution. That's HIGHRESOLUSEAN. It's like High Resolution, but instead of TION, it's SEAN. You can find me at Instagram, Facebook, and then that's also the name of my website, www.highresolution.com. That's where I have been posting a lot of my business, but also a little bit of my creative endeavors. So if you are in need of any video production, or if you're just looking to collab and do some real fun stuff, you can check me out there. Or you can just follow some of my fun personal stories on Shaughnessy the King on Instagram. And that is it for me.
All right. Well, with that being said, this has been another edition of Audio Airstrike. Sean, thank you so much for coming in. I definitely appreciate you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you too, brother.
All right, guys. Well, with that being said, make sure that you guys like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube page at Audio Airstrike. And also, always engage with us. We want to know what you guys are thinking. Feel free to comment, send us any stuff back and forth. Be respectful or get blocked. No, I'm playing. I'm just joking with y'all. I could take a joke. I'm just playing with y'all. So, definitely, man. Engage with us. Talk with us. We definitely love the Discord and trying to learn and figure things out. With that being said, make sure you follow us on all podcast platforms, and we'll see you next week. Y'all take care.